Hey guys, Charlie here. A quick reminder before we kick off today's episode that Will and I are coming back to the live stage April 7th at the Basement Comedy Club in Melbourne. We're doing another TOEFOP Live. It'll be me, it'll be Will, it'll be special guest Deeksie most likely, and you'll want to be there. There's a link in the episode description, so check it out once you've listened to this awesome show.
Production. The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today. We are Two Guys,
One Cup. Everyone relax. This is Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL adjacent podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
My name is Charlie Clawson, and can you smell that, Will? That's right. The liniment, the smell of stale beer, meat pies, and what other smells? Does sticky tape have a smell? No, it doesn't really have a smell. The smell of a scarf that's been kept in the cupboard all summer. And it's gotten musty. You got that wrapped around your neck. And you can also smell, you can smell a multi coming up.
Is this a sports bet ad? Is that what's happening? I was like, I'm just not going to say anything because I think Charlie might be having a stroke. And you're just like, I love the idea, which is that you are, yeah, I love the idea that you're like trying to evoke an image of the season's about to start. I get it.
Cut grass.
I get the premise. Yeah, you finally have named something that smells good. Everything up until this point was something that smelled absolutely fucking terrible. That's not
because
when you do an evocation of like the sense memory of smelling something, because clearly I can't smell these things. We're bulk recording these. Like, it's not even the time you're trying to evoke. You're trying to evoke a time that I'm not experiencing.
I'm asking you to smell 3 weeks into the future.
Bad things. You're asking me to imagine smelling some of the worst things on the planet.
But you're right, because the things I started with the smells I remember from playing footy, from being at like an amateur's football club. Like
sweat, that, disappointment.
Dankarub.
BO.
Yeah, stale pies. But that is, whenever I smell like deep heat or Dankarub, I'm like immediately taken back to like junior footy days. But you're right, I don't really smell that at a stadium because I'm getting nowhere near the players. Even when you go into the few times I've gone to a dressing room after a game, you don't really smell DP. They probably have something special. There's probably some kind of like sports science, Stephen Dank endorsed ultra,
Danko rub.
Heat cream. Yeah, Danko, Stephen Danko rub. Comes with heaps of peptides.
Yeah, it doesn't smell and your muscles will feel better. Rub it on.
You might grow a baby fetus on your back. Side effects include violent rage. What were we talking about? Yeah, footy's about to start again.
And so footy's about to start again is what you were going with. Here are some rank smells. do you smell them? I don't smell them. I do not smell them, Charlie. I refuse to smell the images that you have conjured for our podcast. But this is the final episode of our season preview. Normally we do it in one episode just before the start of the season. But now that all our podcasts are in this Everyone Relax feed, we're launching off the season by doing a series of pre-recorded season previews where we stretch out a piece of content we'd normally knock over in one or two episodes into six juicy weeks of episodes.
So we preview each team. We try and remember what we can about them, specifically their coach, captain, and best and fairest. And then we preview where we think they're going to finish for the season. And now our copywritten ranking system, top, middle,
six,
bottom.
Six.
Bands. Yeah. But before we get to that, we are going to be talking about Adelaide because we're going in reverse order. Anti-alphabetically. Is that right?
Anti-alphabetically?
Yeah. I was going to say anti-alphabetically, but it's anti-alphabetically.
I mean, either, I think, would be
fine. You know why I can't remember it? Because there was a McAuliffe sketch ages ago. Do you remember he used to have that character? What was the one? It wasn't Milo Kerrigan. It was the – he was like a journalist or something who was like a bit of incompetent.
Okay, sure. His name,
David so-and-so's world around.
Oh, yes.
Whatever.
You're right. Yes,
you know what I'm talking about?
I remember. I do.
And they did this thing where he went to like a – on safari, went to a wildlife reserve and saw a zebra, and they had this little song playing underneath it, which I've always remembered because it made me laugh so much. It goes, it ends with an A and starts with a Z, anti-alphabetically, zebra, 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 zebra. So every time I see anti – I do it again. Anti-alphabetically, I'm always anti-alphabetically. But is it anti or anti?
David McGann. David McGann. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So anti-alphabetically, we are going through the AFL teams. We are trying to do basically – this is an AFL-adjacent podcast, as you may have got from the fact that we've been evoking smells and old Sean McCullough sketches for the first 5 minutes of it. And we try to remember what happened last season as a bit of a starting point for the new season and then make very general predictions because we know nothing about the game of AFL football, and we will become increasingly, the more we know about it during the season, in some ways I think the less informed we become about it. The closer we get inside it, we can't step back and see it for what it really is. So in some ways, these are the most pure and honest takes we have of the entire season.
But it's also, you know, this the beautiful thing about our code, Aussie Rules, is that the rules do change all the time. So just when you think you've got a handle on things, you know what's going on, five new rule changes come out and you're like, oh, all of a sudden you've got to face backwards when you're on the mark for some reason. You're like, all right, I guess that'll work. That'll
what I love
a faster
about it
game.
Is that they have announced a bunch of new rules and I absolutely have not caught up with what those rules are yet. And I know that there will be a whole bunch of AFL fans who will have not caught up with them and they'll get into the season and they'll be like, oh, they bloody changed the rules. Why didn't anyone say anything about it? And I was like, they did. It was in February. None of us paid attention.
The one I do remember is the duty of care. So we knew there was a duty of care with tackles last year. That was a big talking point about sling tackles and dangerous tackles. And, oh, you can't even tackle anyone anymore. It's a bloody fundamental.
What happened to Larrikin?
Now it's duty of care with smothers because of what Braden Maynard did to Brayshaw. Mm-hmm. You've got to – you can't just fling yourself at another player. Mm. You have a duty of care not to – kill them.
Yeah, Maynard went around with, like, flowers and chocolates and stuff, right? Like, that's a – I mean – that says caring to me. That's a real duty of care. That's follow-up. That's aftercare.
Yeah. Who do you think – whose idea was that? Do you reckon that was Fly or do you reckon that was – what do they call him? Bruz.
I reckon Bruz. That it feels a bit like on the nose to me, right? A straight-ahead approach.
What did he take him? Was it flowers and chocolates or are you just saying
I mean, it was something like that. It was definitely flowers. Because I know there was debate about whether the flowers were thrown out. Remember this, like for a week, there was scuttlebutt around either the flowers had been immediately thrown out and rejected by the family, or Max Gorn saying I put them in a vase. Like there was a whole gamut
of options. Yeah. Just say you knocked me out, like you know, we're doing a live Two Guys One Cup or something, and you inadvertently hit me with your microphone, knocked me out. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, I have concussion symptoms.
Yeah, but I'm doing I'm doing some Elvis style, like swinging the microphone around, doing a bit.
You're just joking. You're just, it's within play. Mm. Like it wasn't untoward.
Yeah, it was a comedy podcasting act. But people are saying I should have a greater duty of care that if I'm going to do a dangerous comedy action like swinging the microphone around on stage, that I should be aware
we all know
that.
Michael Chamberlain got 4 weeks for exactly the same incident earlier this year when there was a live junk time. Yeah. So the fact that you escaped scrutiny is crazy. But you feel bad about it. What are you bringing me like to say sorry? Because I don't want flowers.
Okay, good. You know donuts?
Me. Yeah, good.
I mean, I think that, definitely like a donut, maybe even a specifically.
Where are you getting them from?
Well, I was going to say, like, I mean, because there's, I think what I'd obviously bring you is a range. If you're bringing somebody a present, it's not like I'm just bringing you a donut to, in the same way as you might bring like the flowers or the box of chocolates, about the display itself as much as it is about the individual contribution. So I'm talking, I think I'd specifically probably get somebody to put together a collection of donuts, running the gamut from like hot cinnamon, hot jam cinnamon through to like a decorated final step apology donut that had like a full apology on the
some kind of joke donut or something. Like it's a microphone shaped donut because you knocked me out with a microphone.
Exactly. And and you know, out of the microphone the word sorry or something in like, you know. But yeah, it would be, I think, like a selection of apologetic donuts.
Before we get to, we're going to finish with Adelaide, but before we get to them, this is some South Australian related intel. This was sent in by a listener of ours his name's Callan. It's a bit of a crossover between this and our other podcast, Toefop. He says, "Hey guys, after the topic of footy ads came up on one of your recent Two Guys One Cup, and you talked about the Kate Sobrano song 'Young Boys Are My Weakness' on your live Toefop, I thought you guys needed to see this ad from the Sandful in the early 90s. So let me just share this with you, Will."
Okay. What I love too is that we did those Toefop live shows so long ago and so much has happened since that I have no recollection of us talking about Kate Sobrano's Young Boys Are My Weakness. So this is even better.
All right, here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, I like
girls. Yeah. Okay, so what we've got here is some vintage early 90s footage of footy fans. Looks like they're getting ready for a game, right? Yeah. Everyone's got their scarves on and they're meeting in pubs and running down the streets to the sweet tones of Kate Sobrano's funky pop song, Young Boys Are My Weakness.
But wait,
where have I paused?
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that you're going to mention where you've paused this because it appears that I assume what it is it's a bunch of footballers in their Speedos having just been on a beach run, running up from the beach through a bit of grassland that is near the beach. But the way that it is shot and paused, it looks like six guys emerging from the bushes from the most
truck stop.
Joyful gay orgy that has ever been experienced because they all look rapt about what has just happened.
All right, I'll continue. I mean, that is, I don't know who that player is, but that's like got to be the Bailey Smith prototype. Just a blonde guy with a mullet and his Speedos and muscles just sort of looking coquettishly over his shoulder at the camera.
So for people who can't see this, it is genuinely like the players all in their Speedos. They're all in Speedos, matching Speedos, and they are not, it isn't in like, I mean, it is vaguely sporting, as in that they are vaguely training
wearing
or whatever.
Gear.
But barely. Like the sports element of it is the lightest element in the mix here. It is mostly leery and pornographic.
I'll continue. Okay, so what's going on now is a real mindfuck of it's like a collision of images. So you're getting like a game footage of highlights with shirtless footballers licking fruit, like oranges, I guess, halftime oranges, but they're shirtless for some reason. Then shots of like families having a good time straight after the guy licks his orange. And then girls in the crowd, like pretty girls, like getting turned on by the hot guys on the field.
Like, there is literally the implication is they're looking at the young men on the field and being turned on. And then at one point, just in case you're trying to masturbate watching this, there's just a creepy old guy wiping gravy off his face.
I'll continue. All right, so cheerleaders have entered the game. I don't know what's going on. Sandful had cheerleaders in the 90s, I'm assuming?
I don't know.
It has such porn vibes though, doesn't it? Like the girls weren't, like it was just their torsos were shot. Like you didn't get to see their faces. It was just their asses and their torsos.
It's so sexual. Like, but in such a weird, 90s homemade sort of way all at the same time.
I'll continue.
Okay, a bit of acting for some reason. Like, so far it's been sort of like fly on the wall, slice of life. You know, it's a boys at training. It's, you know. Yeah. But then for some reason they have a very stage bit where a big sort of like ruckman-looking guy goes over and remonstrates with his younger teammate who sort of like rolls his eyes at the camera. It's just like, why include that bit?
Well, the argument could be made, why include at least 30 seconds of this, because this is 1 minute long and it is basically the same thing over and over and over again.
I'll continue.
All right, now, unfortunate juxtaposition of image and lyric at that point, yeah. Right?
Yeah, there is a young boy on the shoulders of his father as she sings "Young Boys Are My Weakness." And just
real.
Now it's gone to a real dark place.
I just can't believe the editor is like, you know, maybe I'll just shuffle that image forward or back a bit. A player spraying himself in the face with a water bottle and moving his face about in ecstasy, just feeling every drop, Will, as it blasts onto his face, as it shoots onto his face and drips down his neck and chest.
What I will say is some of the mullets they were rocking in the sand for back in the day, unironically, would work beautifully as modern-day haircuts. There are some actually really good, like, you know, things that would look great worn ironically by a modern day player.
The haircuts, yes, but don't you think there is a weird thing of like their faces still look much older than the players who played today?
Yes, yeah, like old
men. They
look
like old men.
Yes, they all look like old
men. Even though they can't possibly
be. They don't
be.
Look like young boys.
All right, it's almost done.
Australian footy, the hottest place to be this winter.
Oh, God.
Good stuff. Thanks, Callan, for sending that in. Was not aware of it. It did make me feel a bit kind of jealous, though, that growing up in Victoria, because we had, like, you know, it was the VFL, then the AFL. We didn't, like, the VFL, the amateurs competition is not as, well, what do you call it? It's not the amateurs. What is it? The VFL now, what would you call that? It's
VFA. The VFA.
No.
What the VFA, like, so the VFL now is what the VFA were, or are you talking about when
who's
it was
like,
just the
VFL?
Who's
like, you know, Sandringham and Williamstown and stuff, what are they? It's the VFL, right?
They are the VFL. So originally the VFL was what is now the
that's
AFL,
right?
So it's those teams. The VFA were the teams, a lot of the teams that are in the VFL now the VFA.
Sorry, that's
teams.
What I meant, is like
and then there's the amateurs, which is something else completely.
It's a second-tier competition because we had the top-tier competition. We didn't get this alternate universe. Like if you followed footy in the waffle or the sandful, you've got your own superstars who maybe didn't even go to Victoria to play. And you had your own ecosystem of advertising. Like that just kind of blows my mind that there's like, you know, you look at Port Adelaide's sandful history and the tradition of that club and it's, you know, completely different to power, you know, Port Adelaide power. And we were robbed of that, Will, because we had too strong a state competition that
went
national.
I mean, I remember there was a time where the VFA was, there was that thing like with the wrestling, you know, where there was like times where you're like, nah, the VFA is a better competition than the VFL, you know, like, you know, they're 16 aside, they got no wings, it's a more free-flowing competition or it's tougher or whatever the, you know, Phil Cleary never played VFL but was like the, you know, best VFA player and it was, you know, there was always this talk of,
My dad was even more indie than that. My dad was an amateurs guy. Like he used to go watch the amateurs play because he said it was a more pure form of football. He liked being on the fence. Yeah. He liked, you know, kind of like the more kinetic experience of it. But I also think he's just a cheapskate. He didn't want to pay for me to go to the real footy.
Recently I was walking through Centennial Park in Sydney and what I imagine is the Swans AFLW development squad were training? I didn't want to ask anyone because, you know, essentially it's a whole bunch of like teenage girls and you don't want to be the weird old man asking too many questions girls, about what they're up to.
What are they up to? What are those girls are up to? Yeah. Running around looking at those girls.
But my friend Ben, his daughter has been recently drafted into the AFL, and so I've taken a little bit more interest just in generally in particularly the development aspect of it. And I was watching, they were just doing circle work. So it was like a team, it would have been probably, you know, like a squad of like 30, like young, I would imagine, so hard for me to guess, but I'm going to say like 15 to sort of 17, 18 year olds. Like, yeah, so that not, I wouldn't imagine they were players who were in the actual Sydney squad. I reckon they were on that next level down. I don't, but I'm not 100% sure. But there didn't seem to be any older, you know, sort of women players to indicate that it was, you know, their main squad or anything like that. And they were good. Like, you know, when you look at, you know, 15 and 16 year olds now, like I think the general vibe of that generation of young girls that have grown up not having to stop or not having to like,
well, there's
you
an
know,
actual pathway.
That you can, yes, and that you can keep doing it and there's like you can keep developing your skills, but also by necessity, because other people are developing their skills, you do have to keep developing your skills. But that extra level of athleticism or whatever else it might be has come into it. And I kind of watched for, I don't know, like the amount of time that I deemed to be interested, not creepy, and, you know, which I reckon was about them doing circle work like four times or five times around the oval. And I was like, well, I reckon that was as good as any 15 or 16 year old junior footy thing that I was ever involved in when I was that age. So the skills were great. Were fast. Yeah. You know, the only thing is like probably not as long kicks, but gee, all of them had pretty good foot skills now. Like, you know, like even if they were shorter kicks, they were like very accurate. Like they didn't miss targets very often, you know. Mm. It was really interesting to watch. We are two guys, one car.
All right, let's get to our season preview. We're going to start with the Blues. Fantastic year last year, and we all know that their coach is Michael Voss and their captain...
Michael Voss.
That does
Patrick have, Cripps,
I imagine. Patrick Cripps. And their best and fairest. Wood, now, Walsh is injured, but then played really well when he came back.
Played really well at the end.
Don't think he played enough games.
What's the system? Do we know what the system is?
Let's have a look. That's a good one. How it works.
It might help us here.
We bribe each player. the John Nicholls medal is voted by Michael Voss and three assistants, each giving players up to four votes at the end of every round, meaning a maximum of 16 votes is awarded to a single player per round.
That's nice and complicated. Tough for the bookkeepers.
Yeah, exactly. But if you get, you get extra votes in a brown paper bag at the end of each game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hey, Patrick, come into Fossey brings Patrick into
the
office.
He's the real John Nicholls medal.
He goes, it's really five votes each, but we keep some of the votes off the books.
Yeah.
You can take these votes home with you.
Fossey's got to wet his beak a little. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, who would it be? Charlie Curnow, potentially. Great year.
Yes.
Who also had a great year?
Didn't he?
Did
Wiedering? Wiedering. Oh, yeah. Didn't Wiedering have a great year?
Yeah, he could have been fullback. Cripper, he had a pretty good year, didn't he?
Pretty good, but not as good as his previous year. But, you know, he's still always a pretty good player.
It's not going to be sad. I mean, although he kind of always features.
Was there another one of their midfielders who.
Doherty.
Like Chera or like.
Chera. He had a pretty good year.
Did somebody like that have a.
Who would it be?
Season.
Well, Curnow. And you feel like Curnow would have got the goal-kicking award, so maybe they would have given the best and fairest to someone else, knowing that Charlie's got one. I really don't know.
He did have a very good season, didn't he? But I guess with, like, goal-kickers, do they, like, with this, like, system, is it still a midfielder's medal? Like, is there somebody at the club that...
I honestly don't know. So I'm
I would have thought their two best players were Wiedering and Curnow. So, like, neither of them are midfielders. But is there, like, a midfielder who just consistently got votes? Who's their, like, They got like that's a good Crips. Winger, don't they? Isn't it?
Crips is their most consistent performer.
Do you reckon Crips? Yeah.
I'm
going to say Kerno.
I'm just trying to think, is there any other players that we have missed?
Probably. We must have.
Yeah, because there are heaps of good players. Okay, let's have a look.
Yeah.
Jacob Wiedering.
Oh, there you go.
Now, second place, a bit of a surprise. Let's say that Jerry Seinfeld was not happy to see him.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, he's never happy to see him.
He's
never happy to see
him. Oh, Newman.
Yes.
Yes, sorry.
Nick Newman. Charlie C, third place. And then Paddy Cripps, fifth. Fourth is, you mentioned him before.
Chera.
Adam Chera. Then Blake Akers at six, which is a pretty good year for Blakers, probably after his final series, imagine. Sam Doherty, seventh. Adam Saad, eighth. Sam Walsh, ninth. Fuck, how's that? Half the season, Sam Walsh finishes in the top 10. Good player. And Mitch McGovern, I think, for the first time finished in the top 10. So, outstanding year by the Blues. A lot of people are very very keen on the Blues this year. I think it's an easy top six finish for them. But wouldn't it be amazing? Let's just take a moment. Let's remember before the Blues got on their run, when the fans were like yelling at the players and burning the memberships. It was such a good time. Can we just have one more year of that? Like, you know how Melbourne made like a prelim and then fucking didn't even make finals the next year? Let's have one of those and then they can go on and do well. Yeah. That's all I ask.
Yeah, you readjust. You kind of like, you do well, you overperform and then fall back here.
Yeah.
Have your fall back here.
Yeah, just for us.
Would you prefer if they were going to have a season where they're good for half of the year and they're shit for half of the year, like last season, what's your preference? Would you prefer they start good and get everyone's hopes up and then for the second half of the season they're shit? Whatever goes through the other option.
I mean, the only way the other option works is if they barnstorm towards the finals but just miss out. Like, that is also acceptable. But, no, I would love – because it's such a – like, until round 11, you really have no idea, like, how a team's doing. Like, do you remember when North under Brad Scott won, like, 10 games in a row? And everyone's like, this won't last. And like North fans are like, fuck off. Like, we're on top of the ladder. And then it didn't last. I think you just got to be real careful reading into first half of the year form. But, I don't know. They're such a strong side. And I think – I really think it comes down to Michael Voss too. I think he is a coach who's really coming into his own. Like, to have survived what he survived last year, and, you know, we all know him as a player and his leadership abilities and all that kind of stuff. I think – he only goes into the season more confident and with the players more on side. I mean, he pulled them out of a hole last year and he's got to...
I agree. And I feel like there's a lot of upside in that team. Mm. Like, you can see where...
improvement still,
like, for some teams you go, oh, they overperformed or, you know, like... But they actually... there was a whole bunch of their players who, you know, Cripps didn't have as good a season. He's had the... like, he still had a good season, clearly, but, like, didn't have that, like, all-star best player in the game season that he could still have another one of those left in him. You had Charlie, who had a really great season, but then had that tough finals series. You've got Sam Walsh only playing for half of the season. You've got injuries throughout the season. You've got Harry, who you still, you know, if you could get Harry and Charlie working in the same team at the same, I mean, so I guess with Carlton, you can absolutely see how they go from a team that finished where they did this season to a team that could be like top four. But there is also, they were good for half a season. Like, I don't know if that's enough runs on the board so far for you to say they are, just by the very nature of last year's performance, going to keep improving.
It's that thing, isn't it? It's that balance of like the known talent and then the ability to improve.
They've definitely got a lot of upside. Yeah. If it could all work for them, they're like, I mean, this is the, I guess, what must be the Carlton conundrum. And so it must be so intoxicating, but also like, I guess why their fans are like what they are like is this is a great team to bring out that in fandom, right? Because it is a real, if everyone plays at their absolute potential, you could probably easily imagine this team as being one of the very best teams in the competition, like one of the real elite teams if they all got it going at the same time. But at the same time, there's a big question mark over a whole bunch of it that means that you just don't know if that's going to happen.
They got the jump on Brisbane. Like that first quarter and a half, you know, they're all over them. And so they can play to the
They looked like they were going all the way.
They can play to the level. I mean, I think I'm just hoping against hope that, you know, something disastrous happens. Not, you know, because I want anything bad to happen to my friends who support Carlton or any of you listeners who support Carlton. But as an institution,
I just hope that it's not boring. Whatever it is, I hope that it's not boring. And I don't think it will be. This team, I think, will be a very exciting ride. I wasn't going to put them in the top six before we started this conversation, but the more that I've talked about them, I've bought into the Carlton optimism on the upside. Like, I do think there is a lot of upside to Carlton. So, I'm going to say they're top six.
Carlton fans are being uncharacteristically quiet. Humble and modest for the first time ever, because they're just so scared of, you know, what the rest of us think or hope will happen, might happen. I don't think it will. I think it's going to be a good year for you Carlton fans. All right. Moving on to last year's runners-up, the Lions. We know who their coach is, Chris Fagan, Dennis Pagan. And you surprised me a couple of weeks back by telling me who their best and fairest winner is.
Harris Andrews.
Which is like, okay. It's Braden Maynard levels of surprise when it comes to a podium finish. Let's have a look at their, this is how
what's
they
the system?
Do their voting. Oh, no, again, unavailable.
Unavailable, okay.
Both Collingwood and Brisbane, it must have been too close to the grand final, and they refused to share this information.
Okay, Harris Andrew is number one, Lachie Neale number two, surely.
I guess so. Yeah, Lachie Neale, of course. Yeah, you're right, because Lachie Neale didn't win anything. Joe Danaher doesn't get a mention, no. Maybe top five.
I mean, I think Joe Danaher top five.
Charlie Cameron. I'm going to predict Joe Danaher, Charlie Cameron top five.
I reckon, I don't know about Charlie. Charlie had a mixed season, you know. Yeah. It wasn't consistent. Joe I really liked. I think he had a really good season.
Huh. Okay. Well, you were 100% right. Harris Andrews and Lachie Neale, one and two. Yeah. Third, fourth, and fifth are kind of surprises to me.
Okay, good. Let's.
Okay, so third, would be the pseudonym. If you were arrested at an airport, you might throw out this fake name in a panic. So the cops have seized you.
Yeah.
And they're like, "What's your name?" And
you Adam just Hills.
Panic. You panic. You look around. The first thing you see?
James Airport.
Can you imagine the cops just stare at you? Your name, you're telling us your name is James Airport.
James Airport.
My father was an airport. His father, Boreen, proud family of airports.
Airports. I was born in an airport.
Now you see suitcases and bags, Will, and you're like, my name is
McLuggage.
Hugh McLuggage came in third. Fourth might sting for you a little bit.
Josh Dunkley had a great season.
Josh Dunkley. Yeah. I mean, does that mean, though, like Josh Dunkley is the Well, it probably is an accurate representation. He was the best player at the Dogs, but only the fourth best player at the Lions.
Yeah, that's about right. Our
fourth best player is your best player. That's what they're saying to you.
Yeah.
And then the fifth one is the big surprise, because he's a much maligned, like clearly talented, but much maligned player, especially by Lions fans.
What's his name? Not so young fella anymore.
Yeah, I know you know it.
Forward midfielder. We talk about him all the time. Yeah. What is his name? give me a clue.
Well, okay. He's responsible for this wet weather. You might say he's a real.
He's a wet weather storm drain, El Nino. Greg El Nino.
which might say makes
Cam Rainer.
Cam Rainer.
Yes, of course.
And then rounding out the top 10, Brandon Stasevic, Charlie Cameron, Joe Danaher at 7th, Oscar okay. McInerney, the big O, and Darcy Wilmot in 10th.
Okay.
So, Lions, all so close.
Yes.
Literally half a quarter away yes. from winning a flag. I don't know. I mean, I think they're definitely, they'll be top four again, but I don't know.
I think they've got a real sense at Brisbane that the Olympics are coming, they're renovating the Gabba, they've got to take advantage of this particular era of players while, you know, their coach is in his twilight years. this is their time. You know, this is yeah. Brisbane's time to do whatever it is that Brisbane is going to do. There is no sense that Brisbane is here to, we're going to go back a couple of steps so that we can have another crack at it in like 2 or 3 years from now. This is the, like, it's going to be tinkering
all
around
the cards are on the table, yeah,
but it's tinkering around the edges of what can we get out of this particular group of players. They've gone very close and they're going to probably have another go at going very close to it again. I look forward to Brisbane crowds, still my favourite crowds, I think, in the AFL, the way that Brisbane go to the footy and sing the songs and, like, support their team. I aim and aspire to going and seeing a game at the Gabba and sitting amongst the Brisbane crowd this year, I think, is part of the one of the things I want to do when it comes to footy. I do think that there is a bunch of players here that if they don't get it done in this generation of players, aren't around for the next go at it. So I think that, you know, they just load up again and they give it another go.
Yeah, I look, that they could very well win it. I don't know. I feel more excited about a team like GWS or someone, but I could be wrong. I've talked to you about this off air, but worth mentioning on air that Joe Danaher works out yes. at my gym. He's moved to the Northern Rivers, and I live in a small satellite town outside of Byron Bay. He lives in Byron, from what I understand, but he has eschewed the fleshy gyms of Byron Bay to come to my quiet little town and work out in our little gym. And I got to say, he was in the gym like not long after the grand final. Like he looks determined. He has the air of a guy who does not want to be spoken to when he comes in. Like he's just in his own world, got his headphones on from the moment he walks in, and he smashes out sets. I got to say, in real life, his head does not look as small. Like when you see it all together, he's enormous. Like that's the other thing. Like he's such a big dude, like gigantic. And to see him doing pull-ups, like he can barely, like, the bar is so low for him to do a pull-up off. Like, he has to, like, bend his knee so he can actually, like, go get the range of motion for the exercise.
So what sort of headphones is he rocking to the gym? Like, has he got big sort of Beats-style headphones, or are they, like, in
ear? Yeah, Beats-style headphones. Yeah. And he comes in super incognito. Like, he's not wearing, like, flashy gear or anything like that. It's almost like, because we get a lot of tradies come to this gym because it's on a country road, so they'll just duck in before or after work or whatever. And he has that kind of, you know, footy socks sometimes with boots. You know, he's not wearing like the latest like gym gear or anything like that, but hood up, sometimes hat and hood combo with the headphones, which to me is like, I'm in my world. Yeah, please don't enter my world.
Also, I feel like that's like, if you're a tiny headed man, that's a great disguise, right? Because like that's three layers,
like a short guy wearing
of adding
stripes.
Yes, it's like three layers of adding layer to the head, right? You've got like the headphones, you've got the hoodie, you've got the cap. I mean, suddenly he's completely unrecognizable. You're like, look at that guy with his normal in proportion head.
It's also not the kind of gym, like it's not like a city gym where people socialize and hang out in the foyer and talk and
it's
stuff.
Not about
like,
the
this
same.
Is just a get
in, get it done.
It's a get it done. Yeah. It's a get it done gym. But like, I want him to be friends. I like Joe Danaher, at least he's, you know, I don't know him personally, but I like him as a player. I want to be friends with him. But I've tried to catch his eye or anything, but he's not looking for friends. He's there to win a flag. That's the sense I get.
Well, here's what I will say about Joe Danaher.
Joe, you don't win flags at the gym.
I have met Joe Danaher and he seemed like one of the most lovely dudes. And I think you'd actually get on very well. I think his vibe would genuinely gel with your vibe. So you know what the thing is? Just let it naturally happen. But I think it will happen. I've got confidence that you and Joe Danaher, and then Adam Zampa, the Australian spin bowler, apparently lives in Nuriba, and I'm happy to say that because they said it literally on the cricket coverage. So I don't feel like I'm giving away where he lives.
His home address.
So we want to find out where Adam's, maybe become friends with Adam Zampa as well.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, let's. So we say top six. We don't know where. Top four, I think.
Yeah.
How far they go? I think so. Let's finish with the Adelaide Crows. Last year's bridesmaid, not the bride. So many chips on the shoulder about this season.
Yeah.
They were the surprise packet of last year. Good draw.
AFL's taking care of them, Will. Yeah. That's what they're saying. AFL's taking care of them.
Yeah, well, that's, I think that's true. And I think that that's something that's in their favour when you decide on what sort of season they're having. They've got Gather Round in Adelaide, which is a natural advantage to the home teams, plus the AFL's taken care of them a little bit this season. Like, it's one of those seasons where Adelaide should expect to make the top six. That's kind of, I think, then is the question, is like, how do they handle that sort of pressure and expectation and easy run that they should be having into the top six? Do they take advantage of it, or do they, you know, end up settling in that middle six? So who is their coach?
Stevie Nicks. Yeah. Captain is Jordan Dawson, I believe.
Good job.
Who we all joked about making captain when they made him captain at the start of last year. He's only been there for 1 year, just come from the Swans. What do people think? Turns out they
absolutely played pretty well. They were like, yep, he's definitely the dude.
Who knows? Best and fairest. Your instinct says someone like Tex, right?
Made the All-Australian, so you'd think that like he's got to be in the mix, right?
But Dawson also had a good season.
And midfielders.
But Rory Laird, hasn't he won? Like, let me look. Rory Laird has won three of the last five best and fairest.
And I was about to say
21 and 22.
I feel like Laird didn't have, you know, the same year as he's normally had, but we'll probably look
What does Rory Laird look like, Will?
He's skinny, isn't he? Isn't he like skinnier than like you'd imagine like an AFL player would be?
Like Matthew Lappin skinny?
Oh, no, not that.
Oh, I mean, I would have no idea. I'm going to share this with you because I had no idea this is what Rory Laird looked like. Hang on, just wait.
I know who Rory Laird is. And
you do?
Yeah, he's got a little squarer face than I always imagined.
He does. It's like a little square head, like a little Lego.
Little
man.
Lego, yeah, that's right. He's got real Lego energy.
He's stumpy.
About him.
He's
yeah.
not skinny. No. He's stocky, but he's small. He's stocky.
Yeah.
Three-time best and fairest winner for Adelaide
Crows. But I don't think he did this year, is my guess. But I'm not really sure who
didn't even rank. Oh, no.
He came second. He did? Oh, second. Okay, all right. Well, there you go. Well done, Rory.
But I can tell you it wasn't Tex. He came in third.
Okay, all right. So
I think it's Jordan Dawson.
Jordan Dawson. Then it's got to be Jordan Dawson, you think, right?
It's Jordan Dawson. Yeah. So this is how their votes work. Adelaide's club champion is calculated by coaches rating each player with a score from 1 to 10 after every game this
season. Each player. Okay. So this is that other system where it's like everyone's getting a mark out of 10 every game. Do you think that you find out those marks? Because are they revealing them every game? Because they're not, because then people would know who's won the best and fairest. At the end of the season, they're not reading them all out at a presentation night where they go through everyone's scene. But do you get, in your exit meeting, do you get slid a little envelope that says, here's your 20 games and here's your votes that you got for?
Oh, because some of the trigger clauses are based on top 10 finish and stuff. Yeah, potentially. I mean, it is ripe for corruption, this sort of trigger clause thing, and you know, triggers are based around the best and fairest. Like, you just got to get a few assistant coaches on side, make sure you get a contract extension. Okay, so who rounded up? Well, they had equal fourth, no fifth. They had two equal fourths. One of them is pretty high profile. Potentially the most high-profile
Adelaide
Crow. In Adelaide.
The most high-profile in Adelaide.
Yeah, he gets the turnstiles ticking.
Rochelle? No.
No, no. I mean...
Oh,
It's all... Yeah.
No, hang on. What am I... Who am I thinking of in Adelaide?
I mean, if we had to rank, if we had to rank him.
Okay, yeah, okay, I get it. Thank you. Yes, Isaac Rankin.
But he tied.
Yes.
He tied with a guy I've never heard of who shares a surname with a dating app.
Ladbroke. Someone Ladbroke.
No, dating app.
Oh, dating app.
Gaming app. Betting app.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, Brian Bumble.
Like Mitchell Tinder.
Someone Hinge. It's Hinge, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mitch Hinge.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I have, but I couldn't.
What about Lachlan Murphy?
Nah. No idea.
Brody Smith?
Nah.
Chase Jones. These are made up names.
These are characters from some sort of like teen drama that you're pitching a network.
Chase Jones, take a guess how to spell Chase.
With a Y? Is there a Y in there?
Yeah.
You've got to ask the question, why is there a Y in there?
Ben Keyes came in ninth. We know Ben Keyes because he kicked that infamous goal adjudicated a point. And Wayne Miller, who I believe is now at the Demons for season 2024. Crows, you reckon finals, right? You're saying top six? I'm saying middle six.
I'm saying middle six. I'm saying they should make
it. Oh, okay.
I think that they would, like, the expectation in Adelaide's got to be top six, and I think they're probably actually a middle six team.
Middle six, yeah. I'm not as sold on them yet, but I'm gonna reserve my judgment. And that's my luck of the night.
He's pretty good at home. Matthew Nix is a good coach, and he's got a team that is pretty good at home. And if they get a good draw and a bit favourable, and they can do it all again, I don't know. Can Tex play as well as he played this season again? Can they get more out of those young players? You know, do they take another step up? Like, I think they feel to me like a lot of things have got to go right for them to, you know, take that next step up. And I just see it more in other teams, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. I think middle of the road is a very safe guess with the Crows. Okay, so that brings us to the end of our preview. Should we? Because I don't know if we're going to have time to do like a round one prediction. Should we do
round zero
in this episode?
Starts with round zero.
Yeah,
of course. So
round zero.
Yeah, round zero.
Of course. Should we do our predictions
for that? Okay. Is that what this time's for? This will be the final, or are we doing year predictions? Are we talking about who you think will win the premiership, who you think will win the Brownlow, who you think will, you know, do we do like just a general season?
Yeah, like broader ones.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Let's not worry about round zero. Let's do big season ones. Okay.
Yeah.
So I reckon Collingwood go back-to-back.
Yeah.
I reckon they'll play GWS in the grand final. Mm-hmm.
That could also happen.
Brownlow medalist will be Nick Dacos. Fuck it, it's not that hard, is it? It's Collingwood Nick Dacos with everything. Coleman medalist Max King.
Ooh, okay, Max King. That's pretty great. I'm going to say Coleman medalist Nick Larkey is going to win the Coleman medal.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I think North are going to have a good season, so I'd like to see that happen. I think that the Brownlow medalist will be... What team do I think is going to have a really good season? It'll probably be Lachie Neal again.
Braden Maynard.
Yeah. I'd like to think it's Bontempelli, but I think that you're silly to say anything other than Nick Dacos is the favourite for the Brownlow medal going into this season.
Everything barring injury, right?
I think that GWS are going to win the premiership.
Oh.
And... is that it? No. What did you? Was there another one?
Well,
you...
Why don't we throw Norm Smith in? So you think it's so? Do you think
Toby Green will play? Oh yeah, who are they playing in the grand final? Toby Green will win the Norm Smith medal. And
Collingwood GWS.
They
for
are
me,
playing. I'm going to say that Collingwood don't make the finals and GWS play Brisbane in a terrible result for Victorian football. But I think that GWS are going to play Brisbane at the MCG in the grand final, and unfortunately, Brisbane are going to lose a second grand final in a row. They're going to lose to GWS, and Toby Green will win the Norm Smith medal. There you go. That's my
lock of the season. Does every coach make it to the end of the year?
Oh, that's a good question. That's good. Who is the coach most likely to lose their job during the season?
Longmuir,
probably. Yeah.
Or Beveridge.
I don't think I can't see Bevo losing his job during the season.
Unless he walks.
Unless he does a dimmer. Yeah, he just walks away.
Yeah.
But no.
Or skates away.
Gets on the skateboard.
More appropriately.
He says, I'm out of here.
Just kickflip Ollie at the press conference. All right, that is the show. Can't wait for footy to start again. We'll be back to wrap up everything in round one. New time slot, Mondays is the new.
Yes, Mondays. Shows out on Monday.
Guys, one cup.
Straight after the weekend.
And while you're in the feed listening to our show, why not roll into a TOEFOP with friends on a Tuesday or a TOEFOP on a Wednesday or a Willosophy on a Thursday? It's all good stuff here at Everyone Relax. You can go to everyonerelax.co to check out all our podcasts. And if you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com/everyonerelax. And just a little bit of money helps us make these shows. Will, have you got shows to
promote? I do. We're legitimate touring all over Australia. Please come and see it.
Yeah, do that. Links to everything in the episode description. Oh, and I'll put a link to the live show we're going to do.
Okay.
At the Comedy Festival, yes. But around the Comedy
around
Festival.
Around that time.
Choosing my words. Yeah, around that time.
Around that time, there will be a link. There'll be a link to the live show.
And we'll also include a link to that South Australian ad if you want to watch along as we did, but not suitable for work. Please do not watch in front of work colleagues or children.
I mean, it was broadcast on television, so I don't it's a historical document, but
it was a different time. Play on, not 15. Ball.
Say that's not the case, we'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one cup. Listener.